I know that also still it is pretty early for a lot of artists to really make a full-time income with decentralized social, at least for the vast majority. But what are some things that you, for example, from your past experience and where you wish the space is headed, what are some things that are pretty important when it comes to artists and where decentralized social would help artists really create more rather than having to worry about, just as you said earlier, like influencers having to serve the algorithm just to fit some criteria and maybe get a sponsor?
Yeah. So I think when art moved on chain, one of the great things was that we cut out the middleman. And so anyone who's worked in art and has had to deal with galleries, I mean, very few people have good experiences with galleries, and they're 100% the gatekeeper of what is and is not art. And none of that is fair or makes any sense. So that's great. So NFTs and the NFT boom sort of democratized that a little bit. But what galleries did and do is promote the artist. It's like a valuable service. I don't know if it's so valuable that they should take 50% of the cut like they do in the gallery world. But nonetheless, they totally tell collectors who walk into the gallery why they should care about this artist, why they should care about this piece. Artists are not always great at this. It's often you didn't become an artist to talk about your work or communicate it in text or voice. You know, many artists are artists because they can communicate things visually. But nonetheless, there's a missing piece now of the art pipeline. And so I think as an artist now, you have to figure out how are you going to bridge that gap? I haven't seen much in the form of managers in the crypto space, though I think there's an interesting idea there. Curators still haven't quite really found their footing. That might be another solution. But the real solution today is as an artist, you need to tell your story. And it is just challenging for a lot of artists, and a lot of people just want to like post an image with a mint link and then just expect people to mint it. But art, it tends to be very contextual. You know, all of the arts that I've collected in the real world, I've either met the artist or I've been a big fan of the artist for a long time, where on chain, we totally can like YOLO and click on things that we just like. Of course, the price points can be very different. But I think it's like the one sort of shortcoming of a lot of artists on just in crypto, but certainly this extends to decentralized social, is not being able to tell your story effectively or tell the story of a piece or why it's meaningful to you. Now, I think there are human solutions are the real solutions, but there are certainly software solutions to this. There is, if I just go straight to Zora is doing good stuff now, where if I mint an NFT, Zora looks like Instagram now. It's more Instagram-like. They're positioned less as an art network and more as a social network. But the way their algorithm works now is that if I mint your work, it shows up in the feed. And so, you know, I do think of Zora as decentralized social. And if your work starts to mint, more and more people see it. And so you can build momentum around it. So that's pretty great. I've also just say, like, you often just, you just need to be, I say this and I'm not great at it because I post a lot. Like I used to be very precious. I like brought the skeuomorphism from the gallery and I thought all of that exclusivity and limited pieces. And then the more I sort of dove into on-chain social, the more I played with Zora, the more I met people like Jacob from Zora or Light, who's a prolific artist there, the more I realized that you can put your work in progress on-chain, just do everything on-chain, you know, document your process. And so my approach is like I tell my story partially by posting a lot on-chain so you can see the kind of stuff I'm thinking about and working on. But people who like... That being said, some of your artworks, which are especially precious, like you need a launch strategy for it. And just posting a post to Twitter or to Warpcast or to Lens is like, that is not your launch strategy. And so I just like, we'll go back to the scout game because we did have what we launched yesterday was the wait list. And so you sign up for the wait list. It's going to be about a 2-week period. And you score points by sharing your frame. And then the people with the top points get into the game first as our first beta testers. And yeah, we have about 5,000 signups in our kind of initial wave of signups, but it was like a very coordinated launch. I think this is a good lesson for founders, for artists, for people even applying for grants, actually, is that like the PR matters. And so how did we do it? We previewed the wait list and the game with a bunch of large accounts on Warpcast, people who I've been building reputation with over a long time. I think that's an important part of it. Just like it's important when it's time to raise VC, it's always better if you've had some relationship with VCs than when you just do it for the first time. So, you know, based on building a reputation in these spaces, I then spent the time to preview the stuff with everyone and got people excited about it. And then the morning of the launch, I DM'd everyone and just asked, you know, like I think a lot of people are afraid to ask for help or to give someone a call to action. I'm on the other side of that, which is like, I'm just super busy. My DMs are crazy. My Telegram is crazy. If you ask me to post something, I will post it. If you like tell me something cool and like expect that I might post about it, I may not just find the time. So anyway, we previewed it. Then when the day of the launch, we asked people to post about it. They of course posted about it. And then that caused, you know, a little virality there. And so if I take that back to artists, I would encourage artists to think about how they're going to launch their art. And even if you're a small artist, you know, you have a community of artists around you. As artists, we don't do a good enough job supporting each other. We do have a lot of ways, like we do have lots of ways, lots of emotional support type of ways, lots of DM ways. But what we don't do is like swarm your artwork when it goes live. And I think that would be, you know, the important thing is just to get this in front of a lot of eyeballs. And so if you have a piece that like you're really passionate about and it's really great, I would recommend people try to like spend the time to preview the art with people, get them excited, write a cast for them, write a tweet for them, and then I'll go live on the same day. And then I'll just wrap that up by saying in the NFT boom, when NFTs were selling for really large prices and were widely accepted as fine art, that is exactly what happened. I mean, if a major artist was going to drop a piece, the first thing they would do is reach out to their collectors, their previous buyers. There were a lot of Zoom studio tours, or like, you know, you show the person the work in progress on Zoom. And so I just think all of these things, there's a lot of behind the scenes work to have a successful art launch, have a successful product launch. And, you know, again, people just have to put in the work. This maybe also doesn't come naturally to people. So hopefully this is useful alpha to some people, but you know, your launch on decentralized social, whether it's artwork or a product, is going to benefit from a lot of your friends all being excited about it at once. And I think, you know, our space is pretty small. There's a lot of trust and reputation built into a lot of the people, big and small here. And so if I follow a small account and I see they're excited about a new product, I go try that product. So I think it's really that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thank you for sharing that. And it's a very important point that actually a lot of founders, artists or founders or product creators or builders don't really take into consideration. Like, you don't have to set up a cold email campaign to thousands of people. Maybe just go and talk with the ones closest to you. They might know someone else, or they might be the person that just by sharing it, you get what you needed and what you wanted. In the end, that is the basis of the optimism super chain and like the vision and everything. Like, it's really creating that collaborative environment, that collaborative economy.
Yeah. And I would say in our space, we're blessed with positive sum people and people who want to help. And I mean, frankly, we all need to grow the space together. So we need to be helping each other. Whereas when I was working in Web2, it's very competitive. It's very zero sum. It's the exact opposite. You keep things secret because you're afraid of what people might do, right? But we're blessed, at least in these early days, although it's the ethos of the space we're building here, to have more positive sum people. Yep. And so I agree. I think there's two parts of that. One is like, show the people that you're close to, like get them ready for it. And then the second is like, make a clear ask. Because again, if you like just sign me a DM, like, hey, we launched today, I don't really know what to do with that, except I'm going to check out your launch later when I have some time. If you say like, hey, we launched today, I appreciate it if you amplify it. Here's a message you can use. I'm going to copy and paste that because I want to support you. In that first scenario, it's not a slight, it's not a lack of support. It's just like, you know, there's a lot going on. In that second scenario, you just made it very easy for me to support you. So I think that's just kind of the table stakes here. And then I think that in many cases, depending on the grants program, works for grants too. It's, you know, a lot of grants I think the Super Chain does a really good job of making sure that the grants programs are not popularity contests. So in that case, it's not that helpful. I mean, what really is helpful is having great metrics. But if you're applying for a Gitcoin grant, you absolutely want all of your friends to talk about your project and share the Gitcoin link, even if they themselves are not donating. Like, it might even be more effective. Instead of saying like, hey, can you give me $5? Although I do think you should ask for the $5. It might, if you were going to have a one man ask, you might be like, hey, I'm up for a Gitcoin grant. I'd appreciate if you could share a little bit about my project. Here's a canned message that you can share. Exactly. I learned some of this stuff, by the way, from watching Benji from Optimism operate. I kind of knew these were best practices. It's always kind of uncomfortable to promote yourself. It's always kind of uncomfortable to ask friends even to do something for you. But when Benji launched the Summy Awards, which I had the pleasure of working on, and so I have a front row seat, I mean, we launched it with 100 of the top teams on the Superchain, all on a Telegram channel, and a Google Doc with different options of things you could tweet to make it easy, and a Figma file where you could choose the image that you liked. And as a result, we launched the Summies. We trended on Twitter. It was really cool. My whole feed was taken over by Superchain projects posting about the Summies. And yeah, it was just really effective. I kind of in my head think of it as like this swarm style launch, where you manufacture the momentum by having all of your friends involved.
Yeah, I think that's particularly like genius that you just shared, because even in the question in the people's minds that they want to promote it, but like you gave them, from what I understood, you gave them an option to post this post or that post. So the question doesn't go from what will I post? It goes from like, do I want to post this or do I want to post this?
Yeah, totally. And then like what I said, I always say like post what you want, but here's some examples. And then I would say for the Scout game waitlist, most of it was the example. And then the next category was like the example, but slightly customized, because that's so much easier. If you don't like the example, you put it in your own tone. And then the third category, which was fewer, was like people just wrote their own custom thing. You know, all valuable for us from the Scout game perspective.
I think those are some amazing insights, especially founders and even artists can use to bring attention with,
yeah,
by literally leveraging the network effect and not having to go and spend thousands on ads or anything like that. Just use the community and make it really organic and grow.
Totally, totally. And I'll just say, like, the way Zora Protocol Rewards work today is they're less expensive. And so one result means artists are actually getting less for each NFT. The flip side of that is, as a collector, it's so fun. It's so cheap to grab Zora NFTs. I literally mint like 10 to 20 every day. And so the strategy is that it really has shifted towards volume over sort of boutiqueness, I think. And there are different platforms. You don't have to be a Zora artist. Choose your platform. But I don't think, myself included, people haven't really caught up on like, what does that really mean to have volume? And so I would love to just my own art if I find the time, but I'm going to write about this and maybe even more people will see it, but I would love for an artist to do what we just did for the Scout game, which is like, get 100 of the top Zora minters together and say like, hey, we're all going to mint this one piece. And then immediately like it floods the Zora timeline. And then I think there are strategies and creative things to work out here that I haven't done yet, which is, one thing we learned in the Scout game was like everyone posted at 9 a.m. my time. And so we have a huge rush of people. And then it flatlines, right? And then like the late night people were the Europeans came online, and then we had the same boost, right? If it was like pretty unintentional, I just hit them all in DM saying like, hey, when you're available, post this stuff. And I got lucky that some big accounts, I got lucky that Jesse from Base posted at night. And so that like helps spawn a second one. And so I think there's interesting strategies of having cohorts, like you guys post in the morning, you guys post at night, you guys post tomorrow. And so I think there's a lot of creative strategies that should be played with here. And again, like I blend the worlds of product and art because I'm both of them. But I see a lot of them in the same ways. And like, you know, a launch is a launch. And what are these techniques that artists are using that companies can use? And what are these techniques that companies are using that artists can use? You know, I think there's just so much innovation on chain. It's like you kind of have to be paying attention to all the different bits of it. You know, I'm weak in DeFi, but DeFi is where all of the growth is in crypto and where all of the monthly active users are. And so I think there's probably like incredible things to learn about DeFi and the incentive structures around it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on. And one, especially if someone's new, and I think that's as an ecosystem is something that we really need to work on, guiding them to the right direction they need to end up in. Because a lot of people give up after some time that, for example, they learn about DeFi and artists and this and that, and they just like are overwhelmed.
And, yeah, or maybe they came in for a token that was just not the right thing. You know, I think that's a common one too. And so I think actually we need some 100% education, but we also just need great places to send people. Like I think Zora is another great example of, if you are a creator, if you are an artist, I can onboard you into Zora. And the first time you earn a reward, you have like this aha moment of like, oh, this is crypto. I can earn here. People appreciate my work. You know, there's a second version of that, which I have a lot of experience with, is in the Nouns community, we have channels of Warpcast. One is Nouns Animator and one is, I think it's Nouns Draws. And we onboard artists into that space. And each week there's a different topic. In fact, this topic this week is the Summy Awards. And they draw art, Namish art, usually with the Nouns characters or Noggles around that topic. And then we are distributing one ETH through rounds.wtf each week. And so the way that works is you post your art into the channel. If Nouners like your art on Warpcast, you get a percentage of that one ETH. And so the more likes you get, the more rewards you get. And I mean, I have met so many artists now who were like, yeah, I wasn't that into crypto. Someone told me to check out Warpcast. I posted an illustration into Nouns Draws. I got rewarded. I was hooked. You know, like I realized this was different. And so, you know, Zora can be a good place to onboard people. Warpcast can be a good place to onboard people. It can also be a chaotic place. Both of these can be chaotic places to onboard people.
What I think, and it's the first time I found myself doing that. Like, when I invite someone, for example, I invited a bunch of people on Farcast or Warpcast, let's say, and I wanted to do the onboarding experience alongside them. Like, let me show you this amazing world that there is out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other thing that I think, by the way, that I think is maybe getting a little bit better is the Coinbase wallet stuff is amazing. And both the wallet app, which when you open it up now, it's like not about your money. It's like about the things you can do on chain, which I really appreciate. And so I think the Coinbase wallet is an interesting place to start onboarding people. The Coinbase smart wallet, is truly amazing. And it feels like it's not fully mature yet. But when you look at it and you use it, you realize that like something is happening here. And maybe we're 6 months away from people participating in crypto experiences without thinking of themselves as like a crypto person, because it is just like so easy to onboard with a Coinbase smart wallet, especially that like for the apps where that's the only option, which in themselves can be frustrating in certain cases, but also it's just so easy. And so we're getting so close to mainstream acceptance and mainstream appeal. And then I'll just say one more thing I'm excited about is all of the interoperability work that the Superchain and OP Labs and the Optimism Foundation are working on, where it won't matter which chain your tokens are on, or it won't matter which chain your NFTs are on, or it won't matter which chain your wallet is currently connected to, but that we have seamless interoperability across them all. And so if I am on Zora on Zora chain and I want to pay with ETH on Base, I shouldn't even need to know that my ETH is on Base, or at the very least, it should be very easy to pay on it. Zora as an app, they do that, so kudos to them. But you know, across the ecosystem, it'd be great to like not be switching chains, not be worrying where your assets are. I just kind of have a wallet, and it just has all of your assets in it.
It would be great. It would make life a lot easier for us, first of all, that we're really in the ecosystem, and it would make it a lot easier for people just entering the ecosystem.
Yeah. There's some world where you come to a site, you log in with your passkeys, it's better experience than Web2. There's a wallet in the background. It's the same wallet everywhere. So as you start to collect assets, there's some assets in there. And so like maybe it's like you posted something to the Nouns Animators channel. You then log into Robio. It's the same wallet. You all of a sudden have some ETH to start minting. You're getting rewards from those mints. You're then like going and whatever, staking it somewhere on Aerodrome.
Having
I think
fun.
this is all of, yeah, you're having fun and you're using the internet. It's like, I think we're getting close to the point where you're using the internet. You're not using crypto. So I'm bullish crypto's mainstream appeal over the next 6 to 12 months. We're still building. We're still in the builder time. We need to onboard more people, but the building is happening. And, there's lots of memes about we're spending too much time on infrastructure and all of that. But we're getting close to the point where you don't have to teach someone how to use crypto. They can just come and use a website.